Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
All right, good morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here. If you have your Bibles, would you pick up, please, Proverbs chapter number 8 is where we'll start our message from. I'd like to say congratulations to the church on your 25 years of serving the Lord. It has been really quite remarkable what God has done here. I enjoyed all, I don't know how much of the conference you're able to get out to in the past week. We just came in from Thailand really for the conference, and we'll be leaving again, Lord willing, tomorrow night and getting back to Thailand. We want to get back to our people and to the many needs that are there. But there's a lot of great things happened through the week, you know, in the conference. But I think one of the things, probably the thing that touched my heart the most was they had a part here where different people came out and they held up a piece of, looked like cardboard. Were you here for that? And on one side it said, you know, I was this. And then they turned it over and they said, you know, but God did this. And that was very, I know Brother Gibbs, you know, that was particularly moving for him, and certainly was for me, because, you know, when you get beyond the structure of buildings and auditorium and things that we need for ministry and the carpet and all of this, the bottom line is a whole group of people that God has just saved and changing lives. Amen. You know, just ordinary folks with common problems, and God is changing lives, and it was very refreshing for me just to see that. And it just reminds us again what the bottom line is. You know, the wonderful thing of this whole thing is that you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior, as your own. It's a wonderful thing. I was saying earlier on, in my family in Australia, we lived in an area that was about 14,000 homes, and there wasn't any church of any kind in our area. There wasn't a Catholic church, it was nothing. And a small group of people came. I guess they had the intent of planting a church. Small group of people came, and they started like a youth outreach thing on one night of the week. It was a Friday night. And somehow, you know, my dad, who never went to church, in fact, we didn't even have a Bible in our home. And we'd never been to church. I'd never been to Sunday school. But this youth thing started, and somehow my dad knew, and he made me go. I was 13. And when I went up there, that was the first time I heard the gospel. And I just listened. I didn't, you know, respond too much initially. I just listened. But over a period of months, it was on a church camp, on a weekend, a church camp that they had, or a youth camp. And on that Sunday morning, I got saved. And it was very wonderful. It was very, I tell you the thing I remember. I remember firstly, it was really real. As in, when I got saved, nobody told me you should feel this thing or you're supposed to do this. I didn't know what to expect, and I hadn't seen anybody else get saved. But it was just something wonderful happened when the Lord met with me that morning. And even at 13, I felt quite... I felt something I'd never felt before, and just to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, after I got saved, they gave me a Bible. And so that was my first Bible. And I went back to school on Monday, and I was sitting in class on Monday, and it was the last, we used to call them a period, the last period of the day. And I was looking at the clock, waiting for it to go to 3 o'clock to get out of school. But I wasn't just wanting to get out like most other days. I had something, you know, burning in my heart I wanted to do. And so when the clock went to 3 o'clock, I remember, you know, grabbing what I had and rushing outstairs and finding my bicycle, getting on my bike, and riding home as fast as I could. And I shouldn't have done it, but I just dropped the bicycle in the front yard and ran up the stairs to our house and ran into my room. I remember laying on my bed, my feet were at the pillow end and my head was at the other end, and I opened my Bible. I couldn't wait to get back and read my Bible. Now, you have to understand, when I was reading my Bible, I never knew what the outcome of the stories was going to be. You know what I'm saying? When Jesus went into the tomb of Lazarus, I never knew what was going to happen. I was following every event, verse by verse. When Jesus performed miracles, I never knew what was going to happen. And so I was reading it, and I was just amazed. And I can remember reading, and every time I would just read something Jesus said or some miracle Jesus did, I'm 13, I remember just being awed by the fact that I knew this person. I mean, I shouldn't say person, but I guess you can say that, but he was my Savior. Just the thrill of being able to know him. And I'd read and I'd come across something, I remember I'd stop and I'd just go, oh, and I used to think, oh, you're really special. You know, I used to felt so honored to just know the Savior. And I want to tell you, I still feel that way. I really do. I know the end of the story more now than I used to, but I still feel just overwhelmed at the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the tremendous thing is, it is a privilege that is offered to all. There's an invitation to all. But it's a wonderful thing. You know, there are some people who know important people in life. And there are some people, you know, when we hear, if somebody says they met the president, everybody listens carefully. But listen, the privilege is ours to know God. What a wonderful honor. You know, I often think, how could it be that he would care for a worm like I? And I really mean that. I think, how could it be that he would do that for us? So it's a tremendous thing to be saved. I'm glad to be saved. And I thank God that he's with us in our life. I'm going to look at something this morning. I have a very simple message, mostly because that's all I'm capable of delivering. So it's just very simple. You know, we have our website that we have that just tells a little bit about what we do in Thailand. The website address is thesimpletruth, and it's .com. But the reason I called it The Simple Truth is because just that's how I look at things. You know, there's profound things in the Word of God, and yet really there is simplicity in what God asks us to do. It really is just the truths genuinely are quite fundamental. Now, we're going to read just one verse from Proverbs chapter 8. I'll only ask you this morning to turn to three passages of Scripture. So we'll read this one in Proverbs, and then we're going to go to the book of Luke, and then we're going to go to the book of John, and I'm done this morning. So this is not a long message, but it's a message about seeking. And that's what it's. So Proverbs chapter 8, and please notice verse number 17 will be our first thought this morning. God said, this is amazing, amazing verse. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Can you imagine God saying that? I love them that love me. God is just revealing to you something of his heart, that when he sees people who genuinely love him, that moves something in him towards them. And there is a sense, and there it is a truth, that God loves everybody. God so loved the world, and God does love. But what God is saying to you here is that when he sees folks who have a particular love towards him, he notices that. And he recognizes that. And it's a wonderful thing that God would reveal that to us. Now, he says, those that seek me, notice what he says, seek me early shall find me. Now, it's good to seek after God. And you should do that. You should seek after God. Let me say, firstly, early in the day. Now, I often meet people who will say, I'm not a morning person. And I don't think I'm a morning person, but you know, it's amazing what we will get up early to do. You know, you'll meet people who are not a morning person, but if they're getting up on a fishing trip, they get up early. If they're going on maybe a hunting trip, they get up early. If you're excited about a vacation, you get up early. And people can get up early when they want to. And when we get up early and we meet with God early in the day, it's kind of like we're just putting God in the first portion of everything else that's going to come that day. You know, that many cares come to us each day. And many things, we don't know all that will come to us in a given day. But there's an encouragement here. God said, look, if you would seek me early, if we would prioritize that time of the day, you know, you have wonderful resources here. If you're visiting, you get a free book. And it's a devotional that you can use every day to get up in the morning and seek after God. Now, my wife wants one of those books, and we're going to buy ours. But there's wonderful reasons. There's things that can help you and motivate you to get up and spend time with God in the morning. And that's a great thing to do. In Australia, and I'm Australian, people get confused about where I'm from. Because I'm here in America, but I am an Australian, but I'm serving in Thailand. So, and my wife's Tasmanian, to make it more confusing. But she was the first Tasmanian devil. No, she's not really. She's saved and she loves God. But so I'm Australian, but I'm serving in Thailand. People get confused about that. But in Australia, where I grew up and really was up until about 4 years ago, in Australia, for 364 days a year, parents have trouble getting their children out of bed. I mean, kids don't want to wake up. You know, did you ever try to wake up your kid to go to school or get up and do something and they just roll over the other way? Or if they're teenagers, they pull the covers back over their head and try to snuggle in there even a little more tighter. And for 364 days a year, nobody wants to wake up. Kids don't want to get up in Australia. But there's one day a year where it's very different to that. There's one day a year where no parent has to wake up their child. In fact, children wake up their parents. And that one day a year in Australia is December the 25th. Because December the 25th, Christmas Day in Australia, that's when Australian families celebrate Christmas and they give gifts to each other and they give gifts to their children. Now, it doesn't happen on the 24th. It only happens on the morning of the 25th. So kids, you know, they have trouble getting to sleep and they're up before the sun is up on the 25th. And I remember growing up in the suburbs of Australia and suddenly, you know, Christmas Day, before the sun was ever up, the whole street was awake, you know, and kids are out there riding new bicycles and they're all excited about what they have. Now, they do that. They get excited. They get up early in the morning because they have an anticipation about receiving something. And that gets them up. And when God is saying here, look, if you seek me early, you'll find me. If we would be motivated, if we would understand that when I'm getting up like that, God is promising to meet with me and I'm going to receive something from God when I meet with Him. And maybe that would motivate us and help us to get up early and to meet with God and to read the Word of God. I heard about a girl one day, years ago I heard about this girl. Her habit in life, one of the things she liked to do was read books. And so, you know, she would always take time in the evening before she retired for bed. She would put in an hour or two reading books. So she'd gone through many books. And at one particular time, she was ready to start reading a new book. And she picked up that book and she began to read it. And she'd read many books, but honestly, she just found this book a little bit boring. And it just didn't seem all that interesting. And well, she tried to persevere through it. And finally, she just stopped, you know, and she closed up that book and she put it back on her bookshelf. And she said, you know, that's the most boring book I've ever read. Well, it wasn't too long after in her life that a young man came into her life who she felt quite a significant attraction for. And as they went out together and began to talk to each other, and she was falling for him and he was falling for her, one of the things as they were talking, he said to her, he said, you know, he said, I wrote a book once. And she said, you didn't. And he said, no, I really did. I wrote a book once. She said, I can't believe it. I love to read. I read all the time. Tell me, what's the book you wrote? What's the name of the book? And he told her, and it was that book that she'd put back on the shelf. Well, she went home that night, and she pulled that book out of the shelf, and she opened it up, and she began to read page after page after page. She couldn't put it down. And finally, she just got through that book, and she said, that's the most exciting book I've ever read. Now, what was the difference? She fell in love with the author. And you know, when we fall in love with the author, we love the book. We love the words that God has put there. It's exciting. It blesses us. We get to meet with God, and that's what we ought to do in the morning, early in the day. Seek God. Start the day. Maybe ask God to help you with that. Maybe make a fresh commitment that I'm going to just early in the day, I decide I'm going to meet with God. Now, not only early in the day, but we ought to seek God early in life. You know, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I want to tell you, it's good to get saved at any age, but it's a blessing to get God while you're young. And just early in your life to seek God. So many people try to chart the dangerous and choppy seas of life on their own with no compass, no guide, no help. And many a soul is shipwrecked and damaged, and things happen that you can't go back on before. And it's wonderful when people get saved and we know that God gives us a new beginning, and that's a glorious thing. But wouldn't it be good if we could just seek God early in life and avoid a lot of those things? And maybe today, you know, you say, Brother Shemesh, boy, you know, I wish that I had come to Christ younger than I did. Well, we can at least be encouraging others. And we can understand the investment in a young person is not a wasted investment. The investment in the young is an investment in teaching that one to give all their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to be seeking God early in the day. We want to seek God early in our life. And may I say, we want to seek God early in our priorities. And that simply is to say that we ought to... God should not be the thing that we get to when we've done everything else. You know, after I've done what I want to do, now what is it, Lord, you want me to do? It ought to be that God is the top of our priorities. Before we say, what do I want to do? We ought to be saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How would you want me to do this? What is it that you want from my life? Lord, before I plan my life out, Lord, I want to know, what do you want me to do? I want my plan, Lord, to be your plan. I want to do the thing you want me to do. Lord, you're not just somebody on my list. Lord, you're at the top of my list. Lord, you are my all in all. And we need to make sure that, you know, we seek God in the matter of priorities, early in our priorities, not something we get to at a latter point. In the matter of our giving, God is not something we get to at some point. Early, in the early thing, we say, Lord, you come first. And in the matter of my time, my life, my energies, I want to give my all in all to Him because He's at the top. He's the first thing I want to be thinking about in my life. And so we should be seeking God early. Now, would you look at Luke chapter number 11? And these are just simple thoughts. So we've talked about seeking God early. And then we have another passage here we're going to read in the 11th chapter of Luke from verse number 5. And Jesus here tells us a story that has a great truth in it, and He wants us to learn from that. Luke chapter 11, verse number 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. And here's our second seek. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, in the story, Jesus says there was one who came to visit a friend at midnight. And I'm sure you know that in the culture of the East, hospitality is very important. And so if somebody would come, it would be important for you to put out your food. Remember, by the way, that it was Jesus who rebuked Simon for his lack of hospitality. He said, Simon, I came to your house and you didn't even give me water to wash. You didn't take care of me in the way that a normal guest should even do. Hospitality was expected in those times. And so Jesus said that this one wants to show hospitality to a friend who came unexpected late in the night. He goes to another friend, he knocks on his door, and he says, can you lend me some bread that I can give him? A friend has just come. And Jesus said in the story, he said, that man, he's already in bed. And in these times, in Bible times, people mostly slept in one room. So you'd have father, mother, and the children. And that's what he said. He said, I and my children in bed. And he said, I can't give you. We're all asleep. The door's shut. I'll have to get up and step all over the children to get to you. And I can't help you. But Jesus said, because he persisted, because of importunity, because he kept asking, he said he'll give to him because he keeps asking even above the matter of their friendship. And what we're being taught here is to seek diligently, to seek diligently. The man received the thing he sought despite being told to go away, despite the obstacles that were there, sleeping children and the house all locked up. The man received above the obstacles because he just persisted. And there are some things in life, and I believe the Lord is just trying to teach us this. Look, there are some things in life you just have to keep seeking and keep going after that. There are some things in life you have to believe in enough to not quit. That you have to believe enough it's worth doing to just keep seeking diligently. You know, I've had to train our Thai men. We work with Thais in Thailand. We just have a number of those men have just got saved. And I have to teach them that there are some things that we need to do. The cause is great enough to demand our persistence. The cause is great enough that we cannot quit. We cannot walk away when there are obstacles. We cannot stop even if someone says no. We've got to keep going and keep at it and be persistent because what we're doing is important enough to demand that. And the cause of Christ demands our persistence and our consistency and our willingness to stay at it. We recently are renovating a building that we're going to move into and start our services in the Thai city of Nakhon Sawan. And you know, Thailand, they're fantastic people. I love that country and those folks, but we know there's going to be obstacles when we become visible. And I've already had to sit down our men and I've had to say to them, now, when we move into the church building and when the police come, and they'll come, and when they tell us, you have to go, you can't do this, I said, this is what you have to say. You tell them that, no, we can't go. We have to do this. We're trying to help Thai people know about eternal life. We love Thailand. We love Thai people. And we're here to make a difference. And I've had to train those men that, listen, obstacles are going to come, and they will come. They've come already. They're going to kill. There's a reason why to this day in Thailand, the Thai population is 96% Buddhist and 3% Muslim, despite 200 years of mission endeavor. There's a reason. There's obstacles there. There's darkness to be confronted. But we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. If God is in this thing, if God has asked us to do this thing, then we're going to keep at it and we're going to keep knocking. And even when our friend says, I can't come, we're going to knock again and we're going to be persistent, because we're talking about eternal souls, Thai souls, and we're not going to walk away from that. And there might be something in your life this morning that God is simply saying to you, I know it seems like no, but it's not no. You just need to be more persistent. Seek diligently. Stay at it. Keep knocking. Keep going. Don't quit. It's going to come to you. You're going to get it. It's got your name on it. It's on the way. But don't quit. Stay at it. Seek diligently. And God will give you that thing. Seek early. Seek diligently. And would you look at our last text this morning in John chapter number 8. In John chapter number 8, we're going to notice the last thing here this morning as we conclude the message. The last seek, as it were. Would you read with me, please, from verse number 21 of John chapter 8? And I consider this, by the way, one of the most sobering passages of Scripture in the Bible. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Look again, please, at verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Now, in this passage, Jesus was talking to some people who did not want to recognize Him as the Son of God. These people were not confused. These people were not ignorant. They knew that Jesus was the one who had fulfilled the prophecies of God. They saw that He was the one without sin. And yet, by their own agenda, by their own hardness of heart, they would not believe. And Jesus said two things to them. And what He said to them, I would never want it said to me. And I would never want it said to you, what He said to them. He makes this statement. Number one, He said, you shall die in your sins. There's probably nothing more to be feared in life than to die in your sins. What that means is this. If you die in your sins, it means that you and your sins are together forever. You can never get your sins away from me. And as long as you have sin, you can never get to go to God's heaven, because God won't receive sin in His presence. So to die in your sins is to condemn yourself eternally, to be bound up with your sins, away from God, in a place so bad that God called it hell. He said, you'll die in your sins. And then He said, you'll seek me, but you won't find me. He said, when you've died in your sins and you fully realize where you are and what you've done to yourself in rejecting me, and now you have no hope, you'll want me then, you'll seek me then, but it'll be too late. And so our third seek today is to seek now. To seek now. He said in verse 21, you'll seek me, but it'll be too late at that point. You'll die in your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ does not want you to die in your sins. You may have come into this room this morning and you came in with your sins attached to you. But you don't need to leave here today with your sins attached to you. You may have come in here with your sins, but you can leave here today with all your sin forgiven, with the promise of heaven, with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus has made the wonderful invitation, the remarkable phrase where he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus is saying, if you'll come to me now while you can, if you'll seek me now, if you'll come to me with your sins, just come how you are, then I will receive you unto myself. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, who had no sin, took upon himself our sin and paid the penalty for that, that we can be set free from the consequences of sin, that our sin can be far away from us. God is offering you today the forgiveness of sin, the detachment of the consequences of your sin, if you'll come to Christ. Seek him now. I don't have a doubt in my mind as we meet this morning. There are thousands in that place where you go if you die in your sins who would give anything for just the chance to be able to seek him and have him. But for them, it is too late. But for you, it doesn't have to be too late. You can seek him now. You can come now. He wants to take your sin from you. Don't let it be said of you this morning. Don't let it be said that you died in your sins. Don't let it be. It doesn't have to be that way. God loves you. Your coming here today was not accidental. God has brought you to a place. You've heard the word of God. An opportunity affords itself. You can come to Christ today and he promises you he'll take away your sin. He wants to do that for you. He wants to take you to heaven if you'll just seek him now. If you'll just seek him now. Seek him early. Seek him diligently. But seek him now. Seek him now.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.